under grace, we will move out of this space into the right and proper space. Let's know this right here and right now. Okay? And with that said, please come next week, because next week is the cocoon meditation, which I promised to do for you. That's because these four talks in April are all hinged together. So, and that the last one will bring it all together for you. Joy and other people have asked about the exercise that we did last week. You can do that exercise with yourself. You know, it doesn't require me to do that for you. When I did that energy exercise and I pressed on you and gave you the energy, that was not my energy. I was just acting as a conduit for the cosmic energy. And if I can do that, you can do that. One of the things to remember is here you have five plugs. Here you have five plugs. And here you have a large plug. Plug yourself in. And you can feel the cosmic energy coming through. When you do that, you can put it anywhere you want then. You do not need me to do that for you. Does that help you?
Mm-hmm.
So learn to do it yourself. You see, the whole idea in life is not to look for a savior. The whole idea in life is not to look for an authority figure. The idea is for you to become your own savior and your own authority figure. Because you have to remember that you're each individualized expression of God. You're going to do it differently. The way I do it is not necessarily the way you're going to do it. But it doesn't mean that you cannot do it. There's no right or wrong way to do these things. And when you run into somebody who says you must do it this way, leave. I've told you that 100 times. No one knows. We only know parts of things. So many people, when they meditate, they insist that you have to do this. You don't have to do that. So you have to do your own. Hello, Jules. We saved your seat over there. Yeah, I think we have to move those chairs down.
I like it better when you're over there.
You did? Why?
I don't know, because I'm you know,
this like, isn't your
I'll tell you why.
This isn't your good side.
No, I'll give you a good parallel to it. When I came out here 28 years ago from New York and I laid on the beach in Santa Monica, I felt like I should have been laying on the opposite side of the beach because I was from the east. Because I really felt like that. The first time I laid down, I felt not oriented.
So now you're going to orient yourself.
Yes. I'm going to.
What is the one thing that we know is a constant?
Change.
But people walked in here tonight and immediately were baffled that this room was opposite. Don't be baffled by that. Look at it and change your mind right away and open up a new path in your mind. Open up those synapses. If you always sit at the same place, if you're always doing the same thing, you're not servicing yourself. Your mind is not working. It's not opening up new synapses. How many people here take the same route to work?
I do.
Don't take the same route to work. Figure out all kinds of new ways. I never try to take the same route. And if I go there, I always find a different way to come back. Not only do I see a lot, it opens the whole thing up for you. You get to see something that you never saw before. That helps build brain cells. Otherwise, they just lay in there doing nothing. So do that to yourself. Now, why do people get bored? Because they go to work and they come out on the same route. And I keep doing the same thing. Change your routine, and it'll change your life.
But the thing is, they say if it works for you, don't change it. Didn't you ever hear that?
Yes, and I'd like to know who the hell they are.
There's another saying, variety is the spice of life.
That's right.
So there's your choice. Which one do you want? Both of them happen to be race mind sayings. That's a better one than this one. You see, that's a, you're living in the world outside, the race mind would say what you just said.
Yeah. I was going to say it's cultural.
It's cultural, yes. So we learn to change that. Is this on?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Here we are, broadcasting.
I started talking.
Oh, all right. So anyway, any other questions? We know that we'll just move from this space and be in our next space. And in no time at all, we won't remember that we were here.
I have a bit of good news. I finally came to the realization I need to stop watching TV, so I canceled my cable.
Good.
I've been feeling good for the past 2 days. So. No news.
No TV at all?
No TV.
I just see that there's a website, happynews.com.
Yeah, there is.
Speaking of,
I was going to say there, we saved that space for you. I'm glad you're here because I need a Reformed Baptist in the class. And there is one. Okay, it's absolutely wonderful to see all you wonderful people. And I have good news for you. You are thought of by this thing that we call God in such a way that you could never understand. You're held in the highest of esteem. And this thing that we call God works in, as, and through you. And because this thing works in, as, and through you, you can use the power for good. And that happens to be the only power there is in the universe, the power for good. And you can use that to bring into your life what you desire, what you require, what you want. And you do that by believing in that and getting rid of all the negations that go on inside of your own mind. It's the only thing that holds you back is your thinking. And you're usually thinking strange things about yourself instead of realizing that you are one with this thing that we call God, that all you are is God, but you are not all that God is. That is the good news. So with that, we will start as we always do with a spiritual mind treatment. And when I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to affirm or reaffirm what this wonderful universe already knows about us. I will do this in the first person. And all those that are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am absolutely one. I am one with the universe itself. I am one with the power of God. And because I am one with this power, I can use this power right here and right now to change my mind about the world, about myself. And I do change my mind. And when I change my mind, I see abundance, prosperity, and money in my life. And I let that be so, and so it is.
Yes, so it is.
Tonight's talk is God's will. And I picked this because I've heard recently so many people say, well, if God wants me to have it, I'll get it. If God wants this, that, and the other thing. Reason why I'm delighted that Wesley's here and he's a Baptist, because they have used to have an old saying that said, I'll see you next Sunday, God willing and the creek don't rise. It's always God's will. So what do we know about God's will? Well, I started out earlier by telling you, be your own savior and be your own authority. So if I would set up here and tell you that I know what God's will is, I would sort of be a hypocrite. Because I don't know what God's will is for you. I don't know what God's will is for anybody. I know what God's will is perhaps for me. And I have wonderful ideas about this. But they will not go down the line of any religion. Because whenever we try to think of God and God's will, we have taken something that's infinite and we have pulled it down to the finite. And we cannot do that. This thing that we call God is always beyond thoughts and words. And I don't mean by that song that Bette Midler sang, from afar, God watches us from afar. First of all, I know that you're all along in this teaching to realize that this thing that we call God is an energy, it's an intelligence, it's a power. It is not a person. It is not a person. And it has no eyes to watch. There's no big eye in the sky looking down and watching over us, saying, oh, you've done something bad, you've done something good, I'm judging you for this, I'm judging you for that. God does not judge. And God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never sits in judgment. If you're having any judgments about yourself or about anybody else, your ego mind is causing that. The spiritual mind that you also have within you is not doing that, because God does not judge. God does not condemn. The only thing that I know about God is that God absolutely and constantly loves. And that's what God does. God loves and God creates. And then God moves to the next creation. But God leaves behind all the qualities of itself in every creation that it makes. God does not sit up in heaven and say, you should be a lawyer. You should be a doctor. You should be an actor. And I hear many people say, well, if God wants me to have that, I will give it. God wants you to have everything. God wants you to have anything that you want. God never stops you from having anything. You stop yourself. And I think so many people use the idea of the will of God as an escape, a little escape hatch. Because if they don't get something, they can say, oh, well, that was the will of God. You have to realize that your will is the will of God. You cannot sit and say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, and then wait for a power outside of you to tell you what it wants and what it doesn't want and what its will is. God's will is only good and will always be good. God's will for you is good. God's will for you is goodness. After that, you have to decide. And you can decide all those things for yourself. Now we have in the religion, of course, we have, because of Moses coming down the mountain with 10 commandments, which he says he got from God. Well, I don't disbelieve that he got them from God, because he could have heard a higher voice with inside of him, like channels do today, and said these were the things. Now, how that was written down and all, it says, shall not, I shall not kill, I shall not steal, I shall not. The only difficulty with that is, if you are a human being, regardless that you have the Ten Commandments or not, you would eventually reach that on your own, because it should say, you cannot kill, you cannot steal. And when you're in this teaching, you realize there are many things you cannot do because of your own consciousness. We have to protect our own souls, our own consciousness, our own spirits, so we don't go around doing those things. And we know how bad we feel when we do those things. How many people here can feel the difference when they're thinking negative thoughts and when they're thinking positive thoughts? Yes. And isn't it much more fun to think positive thoughts? You know. I mean, every once in a while, it's sort of nice to get negative, but you don't want to stay there in that. You want to think positive thoughts, because we were made to think positive thoughts. We were made to think thoughts after God itself. And God never thinks negativity. It's an impossibility for God to do that. Somebody asked in a class a month or so ago, well, then explain. I don't know who they said to explain. Somebody was doing something bad. Now, why would God allow that to happen? Is that the will of God? Well, it's not that God allows it to happen. Things move along regardless. You're not going to stop that. But this whole idea of why does that happen is because this thing that we call God is good and only good. Therefore, this thing can see good and only good. God does not see the ugliness in the world that we see. It's an impossibility. Why doesn't God, you hear people say, why doesn't God do something about that? God doesn't do something about that because God doesn't know that that exists. You see, the consciousness of God, the mind of God, is so far advanced, it doesn't see any of that stuff. Only we see that. And only we create that stuff. That is not a creation of God. That is a human creation. That is an ego creation. You are creating that. You have to realize that you are creators. That's what you're here to do, is to create. In the Bible, it says, know that ye are gods. It also, I believe, in there says, know that ye are demigods. We have to realize that we are some part of this thing. Remember, Shirley MacLaine got into trouble because she stood up and said, I am God. We never say, I am God. We say all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. So when you know that, you have to realize that you have the qualities of God, and one of the qualities of God is to create. And you have within you, your mind, your thinking, is the power to create what you want in your life. To create anything has to start in your mind. And it starts with an idea, and it starts with
imagination.
Thank you. It starts with imagination. And does anyone remember why imagination works?
Because we live in a mental world.
Thank you. We live in a mental world. The appearance is that it's physical, but it's a mental world. And scientists of all fields are realizing that. Quantum physics is all about that. New medicine is all about that. They realize that any physical thing that manifests on the outside had to start on the inside with a thought. It always starts with thought. That's why in this teaching we say there is no physical causation for disease. There is no physical causation for disease. It has to start with a mental idea. And thank goodness you turned off your television, or you would be sick today by listening not only to the negativity that comes through there, but if you sat and watched long enough, they would convince you that there's something wrong with you. You probably would have restless leg syndrome by now. And you could easily get rid of that by taking a pill. You will no longer have restless leg syndrome, but you will have diarrhea. And then they will, the next commercial will sell you Imodium to take care of the
irritable
bowel syndrome. And then that causes, and then the next commercial will sell you something else. So there is no physical causation for disease. It's mental. You remember when I told you the first thing I do when I move into some place, I remove the medicine cabinet? A lot of you people have visited my home and been in my bathroom. Do you notice there's no medicine cabinet? Why would I have a medicine cabinet every morning to get up and say, oh, there's my medicine cabinet. I must be medicine in there. Oh, look at that. I could take that. Why do you want to put that in your mind that you have a medicine cabinet in your home? And I've been in people's homes where I might open them, by the way. Just to see what they're up to. You open them. Loaded with over-the-counter products and so forth. Because somebody is convinced that there's something wrong. You know, I have to take a pill. I can't be... How can you do that?
Couldn't you just call it something else? My affirmation cabinet?
Well, you could do that if you know.
It doesn't have to
but be it's so instilled in people over a sink in the bathroom that you have a medicine cabinet. It's so instilled in people that as soon as they... It has to be an affirmation, you see. It has to be. It's an icon, for goodness sake. It's telling you something. It's giving you information. It's like the cross. As soon as you look at the cross, what do you think of? Mm-hmm. A religion of some sort or other. You know, and we just got through the cross season last week. I was watching television. Dreadful. They have what they call biblical archaeologists. And they were reconstructing the cross. And they're going to see how much it would weigh and if somebody really could drag it up a hill. And if the hands really could support the weight of a body. Now, these are experiments that they're doing. They're using corpses, some doctor somewhere. And then another one built the whole thing, built a mock-up model with the blood running through and all this kind of stuff to decide what happened on the cross. Now that's neither here nor there. Who cares what happened on the cross? I mean, that's 2,000 years ago, people. You know, give that up. Give that whole cross thing up. Give all that suffering and shame and guilt up, you know. It's not necessary. It is not necessary. This teaching does not teach shame and guilt. Or blame. It tries to teach you to think differently so that you can think so well about yourself that you never criticize yourself again. So that you never have something going off saying, well, I guess I caused them. I'm the blame. I have to blame myself. You don't want that kind of conversation going on. Your internal conversation should always be loving, kind, healing to yourself. Your mind should be telling you how wonderful you are, how good you are, how creative you are, how intelligent you are, how you can solve any problem. That's what your internal conversation should be telling you every moment of every day. And if it tells you anything else, tell it to shut up. That is not what I want to hear. You can talk to the voice inside of you. You can talk to your ego. And you can make it stop doing that to you. Why do you want to constantly hear the same thing over and over? That's like driving to work on the same route every day. We want that to stop. Is there anyone here still having that voice tell them something bad about themselves?
Yep.
Well, we have to stop that. You can stop that. Stop that, shut yourself down. Remind yourself who you are. Remind yourself where you came from. Remind yourself why you're here on this plane of action at this particular time in history.
When I'm working on an affirmation and it doesn't demonstrate immediately, I'm tempted to blame myself for not having done it right.
Why would you even be tempted? You see, there's no right way, there's no wrong way to do any of this stuff. Now, people will come up and say, oh, you have to do all this. And then this works. Well, that works for them. It may not work for you. Mm-hmm. To make an affirmation work, you have to feel it inside of you. It has to resonate. It has to do something. You have to believe what you're saying. You have to believe what you're saying. And you keep saying it till you believe it.
Okay.
We are the ones who have to make ourselves believe. That's the same one with faith. If you don't have faith, you just keep telling yourself that you have faith until you do have faith. You can have anything you want, but you have to tell yourself that you already have it, and then you have to let it come forward from in you. Because everything that you want, every quality that you want, every virtue that you want, is inside of you already. You just have to pull it out. Shakespeare said, assume a virtue if you have it not. Just assume it. Goes back to that old thing, fake it till you make it. Or the other thing was dress for success. You have to start it somewhere, to where you believe it, and you believe it about yourself. How many people are still doing wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me? You don't know that, but we'll give it to you.
Tell us, with what you said, could you go through something rather innocuous, like, okay, I say, oh, since I moved to Los Angeles, I suffer allergies every spring. My eyes are itching. My nose is itching. I'm sneezing. I look at the sky. I see the pollution. My God, I have terrible allergies. I've never had them before. And then on the television, billboards everywhere, Claritin, Nasonex, everything. I don't remember this growing up as a kid, all the allergy things. Now, how do I, and I know saying, oh, I get allergies every spring is an affirmation. Okay, so how do I begin to reverse that and also not say, oh, I brought this, because then I know I'm making it up. So how do I stop? And I'm picking allergies instead
yes.
of something more
well, it's a
like
very good
cancer.
Yes.
But
well, it's a very good one to pick, since everyone seems to be suffering from it. And I've talked to people across the country who keep telling me that they have allergies, that they have this, that, and the other thing going on. Well, one of the things that you can do for allergies is to find local honey. It has to be local honey, because it has all the stuff in it that gets rid of the allergies, because it comes from the bees themselves. It comes from all the pollen. Then you affirm that that is absolutely working, that your body knows exactly how to handle that, that your immune system is working correctly, that you're always whole, complete, and perfect, that you're always in a perfect state of health, that you are breathing correctly, that your nasal passages are open, that your bronchial tubes are open, that your lungs are receiving the oxygen. And all toxins are breathed out through the mouth. Help you? Did that help? I mean, does that get rid of? You see, there's no reason to suffer. There's no reason to suffer. This teaching, religious science, does not believe in disease. The appearance of disease. But we don't believe in the necessity for it. When you give it, we do not deny that you have it. But we deny the necessity for it. Most people are sick because they feel they have to be sick. Or they buy into the allergy season. Like they're buying. Did you, anyone notice there was very little flu this year? Very little flu this year. After they said, oh, big flu season coming.
The virus.
Pardon?
It was the virus.
Oh, yes, yeah, something, yeah. Very little of it this year. So we deny the necessity for it. Meaning, stop watching the television. Stop being convinced. Stop saying that that's what you have. Stop saying since you moved here. I have a friend who says, well, it's in the air. You know. And I'm not saying that your body isn't going to react to some pollen. That isn't going to do that for you or to you. But I'm saying that your body knows how to take care of that. Instead of always saying, I am at the mercy of pollen. That pollen now is controlling my body. It's causing me to sneeze. It's causing me to feel bad. It's causing me to do this, that, and the other thing. There's no power in pollen. There's no power in pollen. Where is the power? The power is in your mind. Power is in this thing that we call God. So you could also sit down when I feel that I'm getting sick or something is happening. I remind myself, there's no illness in the mind of God. I can't imagine God ever being sick, so why am I sick? Now get up off your bed and move, Dallas. And I move. No. See? There's no necessity for that stuff. How many people here when they were kids got sick so they couldn't go to school? Wonderful little power, isn't it? So if you can make yourself sick, you can make yourself well. It all comes from the same place. And we all know how to make, we do it for excuses sometimes. How many times, oh, I don't want to go there, so I think I'll get sick. And then you have a valid excuse. You see, you have a valid excuse for that. Now, I've told this story, but it just comes into my mind, so I'm going to tell it again, so that you know the difference between religious science and Christian science. Mm. And I love Christian science, by the way, because I happen to like Mary Baker Eddy. But in Christian science, their philosophy and their view is a little different than ours. And here's the story. A woman comes to the church, and the minister says, we haven't seen you for a while. She said, yes, because my husband's been sick. And he looks at her and he said, oh, he's not sick, he just thinks he's sick. So she goes away. She comes back a few Sundays later and the minister says, how's your husband? She said, now he thinks he's dead. That's the difference. That's Christian science as opposed to religious science. They both work. When Mary Baker Eddy started Christian science, it's a new thought teaching, right along with Ernest Holmes and religious science, which is a new thought teaching. There was divine science, which is a new thought teaching that started in New England. But they were all started to show people that you could actually heal yourself. And they were healing teachings. They healed people back then. And they were able to do that because there wasn't so much television. There wasn't antibiotics. Doctors weren't everywhere. We didn't have big hospitals. So we relied on our thinking and on spirit to heal us. But then it may take three prayers to do something. And when penicillin came out, oh, well, I don't have to pray. That's over. We gave it up. And now what have we made? What has penicillin done? Well, not only does it kill people now, it's created so many other things going wrong. So you can use your own mind, you can use this thing that we call God to heal you. And it's done with your belief. I also think I should mention that I think one of the reasons that that went out, the idea of spiritual healing, is because the American Medical Association stepped in and said, you cannot do that. So now you see in all the health magazines and all, there's always a disclaimer at the bottom saying, but please see a doctor, or ask your doctor about this, do that. Because they want, well, they want their money, is what they want. They want to be paid, and they don't pay. You know, if we all healed ourselves, we could put them out of business. I'm trying to do that. And if we do it one person at a time, we can do it. Can't we?
I'll be the first one.
You'll be the first one? Good. Yeah. So anyway, back to the will of God. The will of God for you is good and only good. So anytime you hear your mind or you hear yourself saying, I wonder what God wants from me, I wonder what God's will is. Know that it's good, and it wants you to proceed. Oh, does God want me to go in this direction or that direction? You may get a nudge in other ways, because you have to be open and alert to those things. But that's going to become your will. That's going to become your will. God's not messing with you. God's not messing with you at all. You are a free agent. And if you know that, and know that this is what God wants, then you can start doing it instead of worrying and wasting time thinking, I wonder if God wants me to do this. Stop. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be filled with joy and life. Not worried, am I doing the right thing? Am I on the right job? Am I doing the right career? Am I this? Am I that? Do it. And if it feels good, keep doing it. You'll know when it's time to stop doing something. You'll know when it's time to stop doing something. There's this thing of divine intervention. Very suspicious. Very suspicious. How many people here, that you hear them say, oh, the hurricane, well, that's God's will. Now, do you think it's God's will to wipe out a whole town and that? These are, at the present moment, these are what we call natural. Is it natural?
Natural
disasters. Disasters. And they are at the present moment. But we can change the weather. We have the power within us to do that. The reason we have the power within us to do that is because we're connected, of course, with the universe. And we're already making up the weather, by the way. And how do we make up the weather? The way we make up anything else. We listen, of course, to the news, who tells us weather's getting worse and worse. Storms are bigger and bigger. Storms are more powerful than ever. It must be global warming. It must be this, it must be that. So we listen to that, and we start to believe that, and we start to create those disasters. Now, how do I know that we can change the weather? Well, I've done it. But besides that, I told you the story about the hurricane that was hitting Florida. And friends called to ask me to help divert that hurricane away from their house. And we were able to do that. The house next door was flattened. Their house, a tree fell, but it fell in such a way that it never even disturbed the flowers in the yard. They were absolutely amazed. Then when Katrina was coming, and they say, of course, that was a disaster. And it was a disaster. And they said, well, you were supposed to be able to stop that hurricane. So your work wasn't working. But do you realize that we were able to push that hurricane over 35 miles? It never hit directly on New Orleans, or there'd be nothing there. When it hit land, it was 35 miles away from the trajectory that they had said it would hit at. That was done with prayer. Next time we'll know to push it someplace else. There was other things going on there, where there were a lot of light workers throwing light into it. And when they meant well, but when you throw light into it, it gained more power. They thought they could dissolve it.
Light what?
Pardon?
Well, redo the sentence you just...
Light workers.
Light workers.
Were throwing light into it. And when they would throw the light into it, it gained more power. Now they thought they could dissolve it that way. But when you throw your energy into something, you're going to get that. And they were doing it. They were just a little off in their method. But the rest converted it 35 miles. So anyway, you can do those things. So it's not the will of God doing that. Tornadoes, hurricanes, and all that stuff. It's not the will of God. That comes up simply because insurance companies don't want to pay you. So they always say, well, that was the will of God. So you don't get paid. But you cannot say that this thing that we call God is totally good, totally loving, is love itself, and then say, look, God just wiped out a trailer park. No. Why would God want to destroy its own creation? Why would God want to destroy you as its creation? So you have to think about those things. If this thing loves you so much, it wouldn't punish you, it wouldn't destroy you, it wouldn't send you plagues, it wouldn't send you disease of any type. Danny?
I we come here every week and I see a lot of people, including myself, I believe, you know, dedicated to, you know, what we're doing here. And I see people writing notes and doing affirmations, and the majority of the people that I run around with today are will do anything for you if they can. It's in their power. And they'll help kids, animals, a lot of great things. And there's a lot of people all over the world that do that. And then I see people going the other way, you know, the destructive way. And I there has to be something said for that, for me, you know. There has to be. It's not about me doing it so I can, you know, get pats on the back or anything like that, but, it, you know, if we're speaking of the power and the will of God, and sometimes I hear maybe that's just the way I'm hearing it, but that God doesn't care whether you're robbing a bank or you're you know, saving a little kid from drowning, you know, doesn't matter to him one way or the other. I don't quite get that.
Yes, all right. Let's see if we can clear that up. First of all, we have to take it away from him and make it an it, because it has no human qualities whatsoever. Humans have godlike qualities. God does not have human qualities. And we are here on this plane of action with complete freedom of choice. We can decide. I always say in the morning, thank God I did not wake up and decide to kill somebody today. That's a choice I have. They don't know that they have choices. Then they buy into the world because they think they're living a miserable life. They think their parents potty trained them too soon. They think that this happened to them and that happened to them, and they build up this great big story, and they go in the other direction and they become mean, hateful, bitter people. It's not that God doesn't care. God always cares. But in a different way than we can comprehend. You see, God must always stay impersonable, must always stay, because God does not show favorites. God loves everyone just the same. You see, God loves the saint and the sinner exactly the same. Only we make that judgment and say, well, they're better than that. God doesn't look at anyone and say, well, you're better, you see, than that one. That's the whole myth and the whole thing about Jesus. They tried to make Jesus something that he was not, that he was the only begotten Son of God. We are all begotten children of God. It can be no other way. Jesus himself said, you can do this and greater things. They push that under the carpet constantly because they want you to strive to be something that you say to yourself, I can't be Jesus. I can't be that perfect.
And I get you, but I don't get you.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's okay. I just don't understand God's part in it. You know, I don't. It's, you know, if God is everything,
yes,
we come from God.
Yes.
You know, then what's his part?
By being everything. And then you look at that, and you have a mind of your own, and you have an intelligent mind, and then you decide how you want to live your life. And in which direction you want to go. The people that don't go in the right direction, it's not because they're dumb or stupid. They don't know that they have a choice, and they believe something else. They believe something else. The world outside believes in competition. We do not believe in competition. We believe in creativity. There's no competition in the mind of God. There is an ego mind. But God loves it just the same. Your life is the life of God. It can be no other way. But you have to come to that conclusion that inside of me, all that I am is God. And that is a very sacred thing. And I wish to protect that. And by protecting that, I think correctly.
So what makes you, what makes all of us end up in this room and not, I mean, because I understand what he's saying about the sinner and the saint are the two, are one and the same,
yes,
as far as God goes.
Yes.
But what brings us here? How am I so lucky to be here?
Yes. And I would use the word blessed. Why are you blessed? Because you were seeking something. And what you were seeking was seeking you. And we connected.
So, like, somebody that's, like, out there doing that whole negative, killing people, and they got this messed up head, what happens to them? I can say, well, yeah, he had a bad childhood and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
So no one's seeking. Where's God's, why isn't God seeking them?
God isn't seeking them because God knows them. God's not seeking anyone. God knows who he is. You're seeking things because you don't know who you are.
I have in the past when I'm distressed and confused and the world doesn't seem to work, I'll go up to the top of Mulholland Drive just to be quiet and meditate at night, and I will look out over the valley floor and I'll see millions of lights. And I think about that, and each one of them represents a light bulb that some person agreed with another person to go out and install that light bulb. Some other person agreed to put the gas in the truck. Another person agreed to build the truck, to make the tires. Another person agreed to build the roads. Another person agreed to make a plan, and other people agreed to comply with that plan. And when I think of the statistical evidence that evil and what we call bad is an anomaly, because the preponderance of evidence is that it all works because we make the choice to make it work.
Yes.
And then I feel better.
Yes. And we make the choice. And when I look out over this city, I'm always amazed, not with the lights also, but I think this city is absolutely incredible because there's electricity in all these homes. And there's water and sewage all up through the mountains and everywhere. There's this wonderful system, this network of stuff that some mind has figured out how to do. I mean, it's incredible when you look at that. And that tells me also that there has to be a higher power someplace doing this. What did you say to me about the higher power?
What?
Lady driving.
The what?
Didn't you tell me the story about you were watching this lady putting on her makeup, drinking and driving?
I did. She's putting on her makeup, talking on the phone, drinking a cup of coffee, and then I remember what you said, there must be a higher power because there's no accident. She wasn't getting in an accident.
Yes.
But she wasn't looking at the road.
And if you look at the freeway, there are accidents, but not that many. If you ever go look out there, that no one's paying attention. They should all be running into each other. So there has to be a higher power looking down, straightening that whole thing out. Or looking up or looking through.
I guess what I mean really is that this feels a lot better, you know, than crawling around some floor somewhere.
Yes.
You know, wherever, you know, that time was in my life, you know. throwing up, you know? and it feels like it just feels like a more connection.
Yes.
And so, to put words on it, like good or bad, but it just feels better, you know? So, I mean, there's a difference is all I'm saying. There is a difference.
And the life of the organism is feelings. And this teaching makes you feel good. This class makes you feel good. And that's why you continue to come. And good and God are the same thing. So when you come here for good, you receive God. And when you receive God, you receive good. And that's what the will of God is for you. It's good and greater good. Always. Does that help you?
Yes.
So when you think about what the will of God is, know that what you know about the will of God is that the will of God is good. Other than that, we do not know. Because this thing that we call God is beyond thoughts and words. and we keep trying to explain it with words. And it, excuse me, it has to be felt. Last week with the people that were here, did you feel an energy last week?
Yes.
Yes.
And that energy was God. That is what we are talking about. And this whole room is filled with that. And each and every one of you is filled with that energy. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.